So the theme that I wanted to address was on the subject, can European civilization survive the next phase of the global order? It's a very important question. There's a lot of Europeans in attendance here. And we absolutely sit at the precipice of a new transition in the world order. The international system is undergoing an inevitable transition from the post-Cold War unipolar moment towards an emerging redistribution of power. However, this carries great potential for instability, and I think we're seeing that instability right now on multiple levels, political, geopolitical, and economic. So the question is, can Europe survive? This is an existential question for Europe. And you probably heard of the corruption index. Everybody talks about the corruption index. Ukraine is an example at the top of the global corruption index. There's another concept that you should think about, which is the sovereignty index. What makes a country sovereign? It's able to print and issue its own currency. It's able to have an independent foreign policy. These are important parts of sovereignty. Responsibilities come with sovereignty. I think most European nations were sovereign up until a point, and the European Union has developed far beyond the common market that it was originally sold to European countries. In the last 2 years, it's been a very harsh lesson, I think, for Europe, in that the attempt by Brussels to harmonize the foreign policy of European countries. And this is not a coincidence that this is happening now. You're probably familiar with the Permanent Structural Cooperation Agreement, PESCO. This is the beginning of a European collective defense. This was reaching absolutely in its ascension in the last couple of years, and it came to a grinding halt. It came to a grinding halt in late 2021 and early 2022. And I think we all know why. Because if you consider NATO as an alternative to a European collective defense force, there's two fundamental problems. European collective defense requires unity in foreign policy among European nations. And I can tell you from my experience, European countries have very different worldviews in terms of foreign policy. They have very different political histories, cultural differences, and historic relations. Take Russia, for example. Italy, France have very deep historic ties to Russia. Okay, not the same as other countries. So the problem is, this is a very important concept, because Europe has tried very hard to become a political union. But the difficult part of the political union is the foreign policy issue. Ukraine was used to galvanize European sentiment behind a proxy war. So if you consider that a European collective defense would leave the United States out of European decision-making on military, geopolitical affairs. And if you consider NATO is the glove in which the United States can insert its hand to steer European economic, political, and geopolitical affairs post-World War II. This is the purpose of NATO. In fact, the first Secretary General of NATO, British Lord Hastings Ismay, said the purpose of NATO, which is back in 1953, he said, it's to keep the Germans down, to keep the Russians out, and the Americans in. So I ask you, what has changed in 80 years? Very little. Very little. What the sanctions have done for American and British interests is to take Europe down a notch economically, to the point now where it's not long before a new Marshall Plan might be required, or an injection of capital to revitalize the European economy. Again, where are we in 80 years from before? Not very far in progress. If you can consider the concept of Thucydides' trap, the idea that a rising power met with a rival power will try to squash the rising power. Now, from an American point of view, you might think that's China or Russia, but from a United States geopolitical point of view, that rising power, first and foremost, is Europe. This was something that needed to be dealt with. and the Nord Stream pipelines, which were detonated September 2022, whatever you believe as to who did it and who's responsible, the economic implications and the backlash from this is very obvious. So in terms of sovereignty, now European energy is something that needs to be imported at 4 times the price than it did before when it had a steady and stable supply of gas from the Russian Federation. So now German industry is fleeing to China, to America, Volkswagen, Siemens, BASF. Germany is the economic engine of Europe. So if the economic engine of Europe and that which gives Europe the financial wherewithal to subsidize Southern Europe in times of economic catastrophe, as it did with Greece and Cyprus, where is this powerhouse? What is backing the ECB? What is backing European finance? It's now dwindling away, and it's happening right before our eyes. So whether if European civilization is to survive, Europe needs to rediscover what sovereignty truly is. And whether it's going to go the route of the European Union or as independent nations brought together in some other, possibly a common market rather than a political union, still these questions need to be answered. These are the hard questions. Because otherwise, in its current trajectory, Europe may not fare so well in the next few generations. So that which would made Europe strong and prosperous for the last few centuries now becomes possibly its worst Achilles heel. So Europe needs to rediscover and reimagine what its identity is, what its raison d'etre is, because this is a real problem now. And let me tell you, from an American perspective, knowing the American political mind and the scene, Americans do not care about Europe. They talk about Europe, these are our partners, our friends, but at the end of the day, they don't. Because whatever the economic disaster is in Europe, Washington has an Atlantic Ocean between it and can still supply LNG to Europe at a premium, which it's doing right now as the main beneficiary of the Nord Stream pipeline disaster. So the British as well, different conversation. So when you think of NATO, I think of the United States and Britain. Britain's the brains, America's the muscle. This is the reality of the special relationship. Where is Europe in this? Where is Europe in this equation? These are really important fundamental questions that we need to re-examine, and honestly now, because the trajectory now for Europe is increasing dependency on the NATO security pact, which, let's be honest, has turned into a protection racket for the arms industry and for the United States. So is Europe benefiting from this? Is Europe prepared to fight a war with Russia, as Jan Stoltenberg and others are talking about every day for the last 2 years? Does Europe really want to fight the war with Russia? And if they do, why are they fighting it? Are they fighting it for the Americans? Are they fighting it for the glory of NATO? These are existential questions that need to be re-examined very soon, because time, in my opinion and others, is running out until we pass the precipice of that very, very difficult period. That we could, things could get worse. And I think this is something that we need to think very long and seriously about. And I hope that there'll be fruitful discussions on this topic throughout the course of this event. But thank you very much.